my neighborhood's loud as fuck, so I don't want to have the window open.
Yeah, well, hotbox your apartment.
I can't hotbox my apartment. I've been getting these wicked headaches in the evenings recently, and having smoke in the room is it's not helpful for when you've been experiencing headaches, which is perplexing to me what I'm supposed to do about this, because I am often the source of the smoke.
Right. You're like, let me go to a different room, and then you're like chiefing a blunt, and you're like, still smoky in here. I can't figure out what's going on.
Are you sure it's not your posture?
It could very well be my posture. I've had extremely shitty posture my entire life. I sit slouched. Everyone thinks I'm short till I stand up.
Yeah, I have constant chest and back pain from my posture. It's pretty annoying.
Yeah, posture's one of those things you got to get right when you're young.
No, and it's like, too late now. I'm just going to die in pain.
Yeah, you're fucked at this point. But when I was a kid, I remember there was this thing where, I don't know if it was a magazine or if the school told us about it or something, but they were like, try just going to your last name or your first name.com. And I was like, well, John.com, it's going to be some basic shit. So I went to JohnPaul.com and it was a black background, and it had like a banana that was like whooshing across the screen. It wasn't animated or anything. It was like 1999. So it was like a still image of a banana.
Just moving around.
Yeah. And it had a bunch of links to different articles. And I remember so vividly that one of the articles was on posture. And I was like, well, I'm John Paul, and this isn't relevant to me at all, because even at, 9 years old, I had chosen a life of bad posture. I was like, I'm not sitting up straight. Fuck you. What am I, Catholic? Like, get off my back.
Yeah. My grandma would always be like, you got to sit up straight. And she'd like run her finger up my back.
Oh,
to like,
no.
Like she'd like do that weird thing that like only grandmas can do that makes you feel like, what?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, and I'd be like, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things
it was like, it's impossible to explain to a child who feels completely fine all of the time, even when you're bleeding.
Yeah.
That like, if you don't sit up straight later in 30 years, you will wish you had. Mm-hmm. It's like, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Because I literally understood it as like a politeness thing. That was like,
that is the kind of thing grandma would be like, now sit up straight and fold your elbows or whatever. Like,
Well, okay. I mean, I totally get that, but like, it always makes me wonder why the adults feel like they have to lie to you. Or maybe they were just told like, you need to present yourself well, and so they are trying to instill that in you. Whatever.
Yeah, they don't even know.
But like, that's doing it for the wrong reason. Like, I think as much of a dense, obstinate little motherfucker that I was when I was a kid, if you had leveled with me and been like, look, John, it's not about impressing other people. It's not about making your family look good in public. What's really important is that if you don't do this, when you're older and you have money and time and the ability to go do adult things that you're going to want to do, you're not going to be able to do it because you're going to have a slip disc or a hernia or,
you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah. Just picking up something that was like 15 pounds. It just happened to be on the floor. I mean, I'm a big lifter with my legs, like I live by that. I'm like, I fucked up the posture thing, I better at least lift with my legs.
Yeah, don't hurt your back.
Yeah, no. Squat down, get your butt almost on the ground, and then keep your back straight and stand
Don't lift anything. Try not to lift anything kind of bitch.
Mm-hmm. Strong move, honestly. If I didn't have a job that required me to lift things, I'd try not. Well, that's not true, actually. I have the kind of brain that makes you like offer to help people move. Even though you're already not in control of your own situation and could not move yourself if you needed to. So
don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I used to have a van. That does something weird to your brain.
Oh, you got used to being the van friend, and you're like, hey, you guys want me to drive it? And then like, I'll drive it and help you load, and then I'll get all... that makes sense. You're just and like, then, I'll drive, I want to do too much, and I'll get pizza.
And then before you know it, you're driving to go get the pizza. It's been 6 hours. There's still a mattress and a piano you can't figure out how to get in the door.
A piano? Oh man, who asked for help? Yeah, that's you need to hire like,
no, you need you can't even hire regular movers for a piano. You need like a special piano mover.
Well, it's not like a Steinway Grand.
It doesn't matter. That shit is insane. It's so heavy and it's so delicate.
It is. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would sooner pay someone's entire bill for movers than help a friend move.
I mean,
especially because like when I was in my 20s, it was like, could you help me move? I'll buy you beer and pizza after. It's like, no, absolutely not.
Pizza is not very expensive.
I could go do that much work at my own job, damage my body less, get in less fights with my friends, and make enough money to buy my own beer and pizza. I do it every day.
I'll give you $400 before I help you move.
I'll give you $100 to fuck off right now.
I had a friend get mad at me for not offering to help them move one time.
Oh, really?
And I was just like, friend. I'm not going to tell you which friend.
All right. You can drop a hint that I could pick up on that the listeners would know.
That's some insane shit though, too, where it's like, it's very like Zizekian, where it's like, it's not just that you wouldn't help me move if I asked. It's that you didn't offer of your own volition.
Yeah, which is like, I didn't know what day you were moving. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I have a life. I might have to go to my job or I might have to like go to an appointment or
I've
something.
I have to sit on my ass and do whatever I want. I don't have to move.
Yeah, that's true.
That's your decision.
That's true. I've been trying to crack into a couple of books. I don't have time to ask you if these bins are garbage or not.
Again, I would give you money because I care about you and love you to move.
Instead of
hire movers.
Yeah, because you're not going to catch Bryn going absolutely fucking ape position just to lift a half a piano with her.
No, I can't pick anything up anymore. I'm too old.
This sounds like someone who like misjudged the level of your friendship and assumed that you were like one of their two best friends or something.
I'm very close friends with this person. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I wouldn't even help my own fucking mother move. It's a good thing her apartment's rent controlled.
She's never going anywhere.
She's gonna die in that box.
And she's gonna like it.
She loves it. It's lovely in there. She's made it very nice.
Smells amazing.
Speaking of someone whose mother is probably no longer going to have a place to live, I want to talk about something you messaged in the group chat like right before we got started.
Oh, we have to talk about this. This is so good.
So Seth Green has joined the legions of the All My Apes Gone guys.
Do we not say our names anymore? I'm Bryn and Chris and John. Oh, we used to say the names.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we
phase in and out of that,
I feel like at this point, if someone is new listening to this show, they have no fucking clue what it's about or what's going on.
That's probably true.
Okay,
let me just tell you, this is BB Bledis. I'm Bryn. That's Chris.
I'm Chris.
And that's John.
I'm John.
And this show is generally about the stupidest shit in culture and politics. And, we're all fucking commies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the stupidest shit with the smartest host.
Yeah, we're really smart.
We do a lot of... We show up every week and we read Das Kapital right before the episode starts. Just as a little...
That's true. I literally just bought a Deleuze and Guattari book.
That is true.
This week. So that... I'm so smart.
I got literally my fucking Sublime Object right here.
Oh,
sitting I have that
next
book.
To me on the couch. It's a good book. This is my second go. Unlike Capital, which, like Chris said, I have read hundreds of times.
I lent one of that. There's like a whole four that specific edition of that Zizek book that John just held up. Comes in like a four pack of like all the same style, and I lent one of them to a guy that I was dating. Mm. And he never gave it back. And now I have three of them and it's annoying.
Oh God. I had that problem when I was a little kid because I would collect like secondhand science fiction and fantasy books. And I had a lot of collections where I had like books 1 through 6 and 7 through 16.
Yeah.
or 8 through 16. And I was like missing 7 and you could just never find it. And as you get older, you're like, am I ever going to complete this? And you look on eBay and it's like $450 and you're like, no, I will never complete this.
Yeah. I did that same thing with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yep.
first edition hardbacks.
Ooh.
Because at the time, they were like $4 on eBay. And I was a kid. I'd get my allowance. I'd get like 10 bucks for mowing the lawn or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'd buy a first edition hardback of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I had all of them. Mm-hmm. I lent Life, the Universe, and Everything to somebody. And now I have 4 of them.
Where'd that person go? Track them down.
This was like 15 years old.
See,
track them down anyway.
I've often thought that I was the person on this podcast who managed to avoid learning the most life lessons as they got older. But one that I learned that's really important, I learned this when I was a teenager, is never lend something if you can't live with the idea of just giving it away.
Absolutely.
Especially 100%. Books for some reason. Because I feel like I experience that in both directions. It's like you'll lend a book and someone will have it for a long time, or you'll borrow a book. Like someone will give you a bunch of books and they'll sit on your shelf, and the longer they sit there, they just kind of like blend in with your books, and it kind of feels like you own them, and you're almost like, would it be weird to give these back now? It's been like 2 years.
Yeah.
I feel like if you lend someone like a video game, they'll like play it and give it back, maybe. Like, still risky, but it's like, if you give someone a Game Boy game and they're like, you're like, you know, beat it and give it back, they might give it back. But a book, that's just gone.
Yeah. I remember I learned that lesson when I was, I believe, 9 years old. This girl I was friends with lent me Five Iron Frenzy's second album on CD.
Wow.
And then I just had it for like a month. Mm-hmm. And she was like, are you ever going to give that back to me? And I was like, what, do you want it back? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'll give it back to you. And she's like, I shouldn't have to ask for it. I was like, what? I was just going to have it for a while. And then I was like, now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah, everyone thinks like I did when I was 9. And she's like, now it is mine. I'm going to listen to it until I'm done with it, which is never.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, that's our names. That's who we are. Todd isn't here because he's doing normal shit.
Extremely normal things.
That's what he's doing. But anyway, Seth Green, speaking of doing normal things,
that's right,
bought a Bored Ape.
He bought Bored Ape number 8398, to be specific. A guy named, what's his name, Paul, I think he said the ape's name is Paul or something.
They have names?
I guess they have names.
Yeah, that was like a nonsense statement that you just said to me for a second before I realized that like these fucking weirdos are naming their apes like they're Neopets or something.
Yeah.
They're Tamagotchis.
Oh, no, sorry. His name is Fred Simeon.
That's not even good.
It's terrible. I mean, you expect anything good out of this trash?
No. He made him a...
he made him his own Instagram?
His own Instagram.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
So he bought a Bored Ape, and then
he owns several apes.
Oh, he owns a couple.
I think he got 3 apes and a doodle. Well, he got an ape and a mutant ape and another
that's
ape.
A different kind.
And then a doodle. Yeah.
Okay. A doodle apparently is even worse, or like even more simplistic art.
Mm-hmm. Also is... The highest offer for it is
$24,000.
The mutant ape has an offer of $35,000. Fred only is like $100.
$100?
Yeah, just buy a different
one. Just buy it again.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to, but Darkwing 84 isn't playing ball so far.
Okay, so what happened is that he bought this ape, and then it appears that he made a show. Mm-hmm. It says, on Saturday, Green teases a trailer for White Horse Tavern, which is that's in New York, right?
I think so.
It's like a show about a neighborhood bar. What if your friendly neighborhood bartender was a Bored Ape? Was Bored Ape Yacht Club 8398?
Oh my god!
And so it looks like he basically made this show where it's a live action show, but the Bored Ape is a cartoon.
Yeah,
very poorly animated.
Looks terrible. But yeah, he was developing a show where he would star his Bored Ape, and then he got fished and his apes were stolen. And now he doesn't own the copyright to this ape because whoever stole it and owns it on the blockchain or whatever owns it now. So he can't make the show.
So all the resources he poured into it, like animation and voice acting and putting together a production company and all of that
whatever.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Right. But here's the thing I just realized. Yes, he can.
Yeah.
Because what actual legal repercussions does the new owner, Darkwing 84 or whatever, have to do? Because it's like he would have to mount a legal case against whatever this channel is. Where is it on?
I don't know if it said where it was.
It's just like
to
an independent
out.
Thing.
I mean, it VCon. Seems like Seth Green is really trying to like get his rise and grind on, because when he gave the quote that he wanted to use this show to imagine a universe where, quote, it doesn't matter what you look like. What only matters is your attitude. And when he gave that quote, he was having an interview with Gary Vaynerchuk. Like,
who's
the,
that?
He's the most infamous, like, rise and grind motivational YouTuber. Like, a couple of, like, 40 and 50-something family friends have asked me if I've checked out Gary Vaynerchuk, because he's very affirmative of that. Like, you got to wake up at 6 a.m. You got to have your day planned until 9 p.m. You got to be in meetings. You got to drink a Huel so you don't have to eat real food. Like,
your entire body should be dedicated to the gathering of coins.
Yeah, it's just right now my closers.
Yeah. I wear sandals so my toes can look for coins on shop floors and coffee shops and shit. I'm always grinding. I'm grinding right now during this conversation.
Yeah, blockchain the gathering. Black privilege.
Yeah, I'm looking at Google image of Gary Vaynerchuk, and there's a book behind him in one of these shots.
Oh, it's
called
Charlemagne the God.
Oh, Charlemagne Black Privilege. I guess it's like Charlemagne's memoirs or something.
Oh, maybe.
Probably. Also, mean, he seems like another rise and grind type guy.
Charlemagne is big time rise and grind energy. Yeah.
Yeah, huge rise and grinder. But I mean, here's the thing, is it's like all the fucking apes look the same anyway. You could just reskin a cartoon ape.
Yeah, the animation is not good enough to imagine that they couldn't just like reskin it. But more importantly, you could just do it anyway and really challenge this whole concept.
Yeah.
You own the rights to this?
He could never do that. That's the thing about guys like Seth Green, is because they love the crypto project. They want it to work, and they want it to work well for them. They don't want to have to make a heel face turn and be like, you know what, actually fuck this whole thing, I've decided to just blow the lid open on it. Because if they did that, them and all their buddies would like probably shoot each other.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, that's like the, but the whole thing is tanking, right? Mm-hmm. Like crypto
in general. Yeah,
crypto and NFTs are like the lowest they've been in a long time.
Well, right? NFTs in particular are like tanking really hard right now. Like, I think by some estimates, the marketplaces are experiencing like somewhere, I've heard figures like 8% and 11% of peak volume, which is very, very, very low. And it might have something to do with the fact that like the crypto market in general is even more striated by wealth than the regular economy. And the NFT market in particular within the crypto market is like another order of magnitude, just rich people moving their own money around.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
For sure.
So I guess that he's, all his apes are fucking gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And there's nothing he can do about it because he's hoisted by his own petard.
Yeah. Yeah. That does make sense. What John was saying, that it's like, if he does make this show without owning the ape, that it's like rich people getting into NFTs and crypto, it's like, they're trying to like perpetuate, they're like trying to create the reason that they exist, or trying to like to, I feel like a lot of these people are trying to like, they're trying to bootstrap a reason to spend money on this thing, to get other people to, or to convince themselves that it's worth spending money on and time. So it's like, if you could make a show out of someone else's ape, then it's like, what's the point of buying an ape if someone is just going to steal it?
And what is the point of buying an ape?
I mean, from our perspective, it's like, yeah, we knew this would happen. What is the point of buying this stupid shit?
Nothing.
It's just a fun way to show extremely poor judgment online. And speaking of fun ways to show extremely poor judgment online, let's talk about the Tories, who are launching an investigation over across the pond in the UK into one of their own after a candidate.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah.
He posted a tweet. And the article,
I found it.
Yeah, I gotcha. It's okay. Yeah. He's replying to someone.
Who is this person?
He is a Tory party candidate.
He's running. This is basically like a British, like running for Senate, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Like they haven't won yet, but this is a person who's.
Wow. Because I saw this tweet and I was like, wow, this random guy sure is being a freak.
Yes.
Not this politician.
I also thought that, and not like the new Marjorie Taylor Greene of Britain or whatever. But it apparently is from a guy who's running for...
Mm-hmm. Running for some weird British thing. So it's replying to someone and he says, here's the thing with girls 22 or under. They smell massively different to a girl of 28. girls 16 to say 23 have this creamy, buttery, slightly sweet smell that is unbelievably magnetic.
Oh God.
What is
oh,
that?
Oh yeah, I remember. He was replying to a story where like a couple, I think it was like in Britain, like a couple was helping a 22-year-old Ukrainian refugee, and the guy dumped his wife to start dating this woman.
And oh, so he's being like, I get it.
This is why, because of the smell. It's the smell. It's
the yeah, so Agent fucking... Smith.
I mean, it has like Biden kind of vibes to it. Like
he does love sniffing people.
Why is it that rich dudes or like dudes who are in politics or would like to wield power or whatever always have like one extremely specific fixation? It's like always hair or smells or feet or something. And like the worst one I'm always reminded of is Jeff Bezos's, I love you, alive girl.
Alive yeah. girl? Yeah.
Yeah. It's great how alive and not a corpse you are.
That one, it's so insane that I feel like there must be some
inside joke,
some
or something?
Inside joke about it. But yeah, no, it sounds insane. Yeah.
Maybe when they get together, they just listen to that song. That's like, I feel so alive.
The very yeah, yeah, it's their favorite
POD song.
Is that who it is? I don't know. Oh, who yeah. does that song.
That's POD, Payable on Death, a great band.
That's right. That's one of those CDs that you definitely borrow and don't give back. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the right era for that. But yeah, so this guy Jaunty Campbell, who is seemingly a relatively insignificant local politician, his post has been removed from his post, and his candidacy listing on the Tories website has been delisted. So
well, that's funny.
It turns out that you can be too weird for Britain. shocking you, news, I know.
You can be too much of a nonce for even the Parliament.
That's right.
Which I don't think that's true. You just have to be bourgeois enough to understand that you can't tweet about it.
Yeah, so we've
can't
learned
say that. I like fucking teenagers.
There are two bridges too far in British politics that we've learned about in the last month or so, and that is that you can't look at porn on your phone in mm-hmm. Parliament. That's a bit
while you're in Parliament,
right?
And then doing the law,
and then go back in a second time. After mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I'd like to read, well, see that again. And you also can't tweet openly about loving the smell of 16-year-old girls.
God, that's so fucking gross.
You can do almost anything else, and you can hint at it, or you can do it like very openly, not on the floor of Parliament, literally, but. Those places, yeah, you got to put your phone away.
Yeah, that's there are rules here. British people love their rules, mm-hmm. and if you can be a fucking pedo freak, you just have to follow the rules.
True.
Yeah. This guy broke, just like liberals in America. You can do anything you want, but they love the rules.
That's
probably
right.
Because there's some dark ritual magic happening, and you're gonna fuck it all up if you don't if you don't follow the rules.
Well, speaking of doing whatever you want, there's something that you can't do in New York City anymore, which is something I know Americans have treasured for a long time, which is to use a payphone. They took the last payphone out of New York City. I don't have a lot to say about this, except that payphones are cool and good, if only because mm-hmm. they are a covered place in a world that often does not provide any kind of shelter to people who might have to be out on the street at any given hour. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think that everyone being like, oh, wow, look, all the payphones are gone. What a relic of time gone by, is like ignoring the fact that they've also gotten rid of like benches that are level and don't have a divider in the middle of them and all kinds of other shit like that.
I was walking around Queens today and we were talking about, I was noticing that there are wooden benches with no divider. Ooh. Just in the town square, just little like places in the road in mm-hmm. front of buildings, in front of gardening. Yeah. Planters.
And it was like notable enough to like notice it, because like a lot of benches in New York have like the middle armrest thing so no one can lay across it, or like just a weird metal divider in between or something.
Right. I've seen a lot of ones that are just like slanted now too, where it's even if you just want to sit down, you can't sit down on a level surface and like really take a load off. You're just leaning against this weird thing. And it's also like very uncomfortable for your hips.
They have some like that on the subway where it's just like a little, it's like a wooden thing that then like will sit down kind of almost like a swing seat. So you couldn't really like sit on it for very long. It's kind of just like, you can sit at this while that you wait for the train, but you better not get too comfortable. Cause like even the idea of a homeless person, like, sitting and being comfortable for too long, they're like, no, this can't happen.
It's so insane.
Everyone else has to be more uncomfortable.
We're like, I'm so terrified I might see a homeless person sleeping that I have to make sure people's grandmas don't have anywhere to sit down outside of the shops.
Yeah.
Like, it's awful.
Very bizarre brain.
So there's no more payphones. Mm-hmm.
There's no
New
more
York.
According to this article, this is the last street payphone. So there might still be payphones like in buildings, but
there's somewhere recently where I feel like I've seen like a hooked up payphone inside, but I forget where, in like a restaurant or something. There's like definitely there's some places like where they just have like a little like have one inside that's still connected.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of like 50s diner kind of like restaurants will have a payphone, but I think 90% of the time it's like 3/4 scale and made out of plastic and not even real in the first place. But yeah, I just thought that was notable. And, you know, maybe if we weren't on our goddamn smartphones so much. And
if we weren't always on our fucking phones.
We could look up and see where we were going. And maybe, just maybe, we could use a payphone to call grandma.
We could call somebody on our phone. Yeah. So what about those Link NYC things?
Well, they're saying that they're like replacing all the payphones, basically. Which is like the Link NYC thing, like John was saying, doesn't have any shelter on it. And also has a big screen on it that mostly displays like ads.
Yeah.
And occasionally like, I don't know, some dumb art or something.
Sometimes okay art.
Sometimes cool art.
My friend did some.
Yeah, yeah. But it always gets cycled away for an ad. Or they look cool because someone like hit it with a brick and then it has like a weird cyberpunk like flickering
now
screen kind of vibe.
That's real cool.
That's when they look cool.
That's the real art right there. No offense to your friend, but like that person with a brick should have signed their name or something. Maybe not their name.
I have to agree.
Yeah.
Not their government name. That's for sure.
Their tag. Yeah.
But you can make phone calls on those things.
I think maybe, I'm not actually sure. I mean, they have Wi-Fi so you can like connect you and they have like a USB thing to charge your phone. I don't actually know if you could just like dial on those.
And this article, says that there are 4 booths. Superman booths, as this article calls them.
Oh yeah,
like actual like little, you know, phone booths, I guess.
Step inside. Yeah.
It is unclear if their phones are connected to anything.
I mean, I feel like that's the state of most payphones. Because like if I'm ever walking around somewhere and I see one, I kind of go check it out, and like I don't always go inside or whatever. But a lot of them definitely look like they could not be used anymore. Like they haven't been used in so long that there's no way people have been checking on them and doing maintenance and shit.
Right. Or they just don't have phones in them at all.
Yeah. A lot of them, it's just like a busted cord. And if that's like the coiled metal cable on those that can like pinch your skin, I'm always like, did someone come in here with bolt cutters? Or is there like a strong man in town who's yanking out
yank
a phone
out.
Cord?
Yeah, and for what?
Yeah, why would you want to steal a payphone like receiver? It's like chaining pens down at the bank. Like, was this that big a deal that you needed a chain? You couldn't just like have a bunch of pens?
Probably. Well,
that's like, okay, so one of my stops at my fucking job, it's notorious for people breaking into the machines. And so in addition to the normal lock on the fucking vending machine door that's on all of the vending machines, there are also 2 padlocks at the top and bottom. And so when I go in, I take the padlocks off and I would put them on top of the machine and I would just lock the regular door lock just for the 15 minutes while I went out to get the stuff to put in it. And then I did that last week and I came back and someone had just swiped the 2 open master locks off the top of the machine with no key to them. The keys on my keychain. I don't know. I'm like, I don't want to like go like, you know, making judgments about people's character or whatever. But if you're willing to just steal 2 random master locks that you cannot open again once they are closed, you might have a problem.
Like, yeah. Are you just trying to sell them for scrap metal or something? I don't even like... Yeah,
what's the benefit here?
Yeah, how could you benefit? Yeah,
I was blown away.
I think last week or something, Bryn and I were walking like next to a park and I saw a little, what did I see? A key ring or something?
Oh, it was a like a It was a little key ring with three keys on it. Mm-hmm. And it was tied to, it was like rubber banded with like a black, like a more stronger rubber band than usual, mm-hmm. to one of those like cop barriers, those like, mm-hmm. like metal, like slated metal barriers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I saw it and I was like, oh, should I take that? Jokingly. And Bryn was like, if you do, you'll just ruin some janitor's day. He'll be like, ah, where is this?
Yeah. It's like, probably some park worker just like has this key. Wouldn't it be funny though, if that was, the key chain to the bathroom.
Oh, and you could just like unlock the bathroom yeah, at
like,
parks.
Like yeah, if you yeah. like went up to a park worker and like, is there a bathroom? It's like, yeah, but you have to take that barrier to open the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like the fucking key tags that they give you where
yeah, you're yeah.
Oh, it's you're like, yeah, it's like attached to a brick. It's like, yeah. Oh, it's on this cinder block. So no one steals it.
Those things got more and more strange. Cause I remember like, Blockbuster is the one I'm thinking of, mm-hmm. when I was a kid.
They had one.
Like, they would have it on a lanyard.
Sure.
And then yeah. they like start, as I got older, they started putting them on DVD cases.
Mm, and okay. then, like, I remember Blockbuster having like a big, like laminated or maybe even like plastic encased, you know, like hard plastic encased, like blue rectangle.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
was like mm-hmm. bathroom key across it with a key attached.
Yeah. And then like I've gone into places in New York City where it's just like big sticks,
mm-hmm, like huge chunks of wood or like, whatever.
I don't
yeah.
know what this is about.
Yeah.
People having a little fun, I guess, being creative with their design.
Well, I feel like it's just like whatever random shit is big enough that they think you can't just like stick it in your pocket. Right. Like I yeah. was at a bar in Pittsburgh and I was like, I need to use the bathroom. Where is it? And they were like, it's over there. And also you need this. And they handed me a whole clipboard with a key on it. Just a blank clipboard. It's like, okay, I guess I'll try not to piss on the clipboard.
Yeah. You know, like, where should I put it?
But I'm not gonna try that hard.
Yeah.
Very holding weird. It with like two fingers, because you're like, how hard would other people like me try to hold it, try to not piss on this?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of not trying very hard, I want to talk about one of the things the U.S. has not been trying very hard at for a long time, which is maintaining our infrastructure. Some listeners might remember all of the insane shit that happened when the power grid in Texas failed, when they had unprecedented cold and snowstorms. And there's mm-hmm. a really interesting map in this Vice article that says majority of U.S. power grid at risk of failure this summer.
Good.
Yeah, really, really great, especially because there's only two red areas, and Michigan has been included in one of them, which is the strangest shape for a power grid I think I've ever seen. It includes
oh yeah
it includes
it's the glove.
I didn't really think about that. It's almost like a fucking gerrymandering map. It's like, why does it like leak down into Ohio just a little bit and then over into what's over here to the like
southern
left.
Illinois
yeah Illinois
Texas, I think.
Yeah, it looks like Chicago has its own little like carve out almost.
Oh
like,
wait
yeah.
what the fuck yeah. over there in like Idaho there's like a little tiny yes. slice.
That's that, super
maybe
weird.
That part is just like more fucked up and like worn down or whatever. The high risk potential for insufficient operating reserves in normal peak conditions. Oh wow. So elevated is insufficient operating reserves in above normal conditions. Low is just sufficient operating reserves, and high is just like normal. If it's hot in the summer and everyone uses their AC, it will not have enough energy to yes. run it, I guess.
And it's
that's
all
high.
And it's all in one area. Like, these grids are so big, and they should either all be connected to each other, or we should mm-hmm. have a lot of little ones. Like,
yeah.
this having a few ones that cover huge swaths of the country is a really, really bad idea. But also, come to think of it, the part of Michigan I live in might actually be in this tiny little chunk that looks like it's carved out with Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, the little
even
carve
though it's
out.
Across
maybe
the lake from it.
Run under the lake, I guess? Power line? I don't know. Yeah, this maybe. Is very...
Yeah, you know what's also a really bad idea? States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those that's shouldn't
true.
Exist.
Yeah, federalism, pretty bad. I think you could say it failed, folks. Sorry to burst your bubble, fucking Hamilton and Washington or whoever the fuck thought of this dumb bullshit.
You stupid idiots who've never even looked at a spreadsheet in your fucking life. You don't even have computers, you dumb pieces of shit.
If you looked at this fucking Google Doc we're running the show off of, your brains would explode. You'd be like, it's blue and it can link to other magical computers? You'd fucking pass out.
Instantly destroyed by a
you don't know what anything is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do we think anybody had any clue how to run a country?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'll say the same thing I said about these power grids, which is that, like, just like you guys said, states are an idiotic idea. Everything should either be one big country, or we need to go back to running city states as just completely autonomous from one another. Either or,
we need
no
to go
in between.
Back. Yeah, I mean, you can't have a country like this. It's literally impossible. The fact that we were ascendant and became the most powerful nation on the planet and probably in history for under 100 years is astounding, because this is the stupidest country of all time.
We had to get very lucky. But also, like, the power grid can handle, you know, aircraft carriers and planes and shit.
I mean,
those are all
really, if you think about it, the only reason any of that happened was because of the CIA. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
FDR was like, okay, my whole thing is that I'm just like the stopgap between capitalism and communism. Mm-hmm. And CIA was like, nah, we're gonna run this like the Romans ran it.
Yeah.
And so, like, while it's like been, you know, supposedly we had states, we were run as like a full country for like a good 50 years. And that's why we became so crazy powerful. And then that kind of stopped happening.
Yeah. And we spent all the money, and now America is the busted lottery winner who's actually $600,000 in debt.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, shit in the Midwest is especially bad, apparently, because we have one of the only grids that's like producing less electricity every year. Like, it's just failing in general.
Oh, it's just like not working correctly. Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good to know.
And then also, a tornado damaged one of the main transmission lines that links the northern and southern Midwest. As they're defined within this system, and so the operators just don't have one of their key transmission lines. And
good.
They've expressed concerns about this, but, you know, getting funding for infrastructure in the United States is like, that just ain't fucking happening. You know, this shit is all like maintained by a weird web of regulatory agencies and utility companies that keep exchanging employees. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they're going to either have to import electricity into the Midwest or shed load, which literally just means provide less electricity to certain areas of the Midwest. And knowing America's penchant for austerity politics, yeah, it'll probably be fucking Flint. It'll probably be fucking Flint, Michigan. And you know, black and poor and underdeveloped areas all around the fucking Midwest, which is a lot of the fucking Midwest, because it's the Midwest. Half the fucking Rust Belt runs through here. Like,
Yeah, what does Michael Moore have to say about all this?
I don't know. Probably some liberal shit. Probably that you should vote.
Vote even harder for Pete Buttigieg or whatever.
Yeah.
Was he a Pete guy?
Oh, I don't know. He just something like that.
I bet
he's a Yang guy. He really has Yang energy to me.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he was like at a Bernie rally.
He was like into Bernie.
He's a sock dem.
That's
Let's
as far as people will go,
him
though.
Unnecessarily. Let's slander him as a sock dem, which he has earned.
I think I've mentioned it on the show before, but I think a lot about, well, really whenever anytime I see, like, you know, suck dems on Twitter saying anything.
Sure.
I think a lot about when I saw Fahrenheit 9/11 in the theater back in 2003 or 4 when it came out, and I was a teenager. And the very end of the movie, in big bold letters, the size of the entire screen, it says, do something.
Just do something.
Do something. And like, at the time, I kind of
it was
had
hitting.
This, well, it was like, I understood the sentiment exactly. It was like, it felt like, well, I agree. We should do something.
Get involved.
And especially, you know, where I was in my life, I was like, he basically wants to say burn down the country, but he can't because it's a movie.
He's got to code it like Dr. Seuss did at the end of The Lorax, where he's like, yeah, we're cutting down all the trees and the planet is fucked. Unless, and then
unless we cut down something else,
you'll have to do quite a bit if you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's funny. I did a tweet of this week of a picture of the Davos.
Oh yeah,
the Davos gathering, the World Economic Forum, juxtaposed against a picture of Miss Meinhof from the RAF. But I don't think anyone knew who that was, so I was very safe. But wait, didn't get any like
of Bader Meinhof phenomenon fame. Yeah,
yeah, the bombers. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But nobody knows who that is.
Wait. The World Economic Forum. That's the WEF. So what if instead of wife guys we had WEF guys? And they were just like really concerned about the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, yeah. Especially ones like Bezos or maybe Elon who got divorced. They're not wife guys anymore.
Right.
They got to become WEF guys. Bill Gates. Bill Gates got a divorce, and he's like the poster child of WEF. Of Davos.
I think you're onto something here. The wife guy to wef guy pipeline is real.
But I think a lot about the fact that that sentiment of do something just became a rallying cry for limp-wristed idiots who don't actually want to do anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean,
it's too vague.
Anything to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too fucking vague. And he can't tell you, you know, go burn down a police station, even though he probably should tell you that. And even though every time it's ever happened, it accomplished something.
It was better than anything else. That's for sure.
I mean, did it work in the long run? Not always. Did it work better than voting? Every time.
No cop has ever shit his pants because someone voted. They are afraid if a police station burns down.
That's like, very true.
And cops quitting or being afraid or feeling like everyone hates them, it's a good thing. Like, people should
think
twice.
That's one of the best things in life.
Yeah, you want people to think twice before joining the police because they're like, wow, everyone's going to hate me because I'm a horrible person.
Every time I get a chance to tell a cop to quit their job, I like to say to cops, just walking by, get a real job. And usually I call them a slur because no one can cancel you in real life and they can't do anything about it. I highly recommend doing that unless you think you'll actually get harassed by a cop.
Make sure you're set up to like jog away from them or hop on the train or something.
Yes.
Not that they can
chase
you.
Important.
Yeah.
I mean, it is not technically illegal to insult a police officer, but they don't play by the rules.
The funny thing about laws is that if a police officer doesn't like that you did it, it is illegal. It's sort of the opposite of being president.
I mean, and like, if you want to make sure that you have time to get away with it or that they're just a little too perplexed to really do something about it, be weird. You see a couple of cops just shout like, hey, Ben and Jerry, my dads could beat up your dads.
That is a good way to get away with it, because then they don't know what you're talking about, and then only later they're like, hey.
Bryn did a good one where there's like, for some reason at our local Walgreens there's often like a cop standing at the entrance, I assume as like security or to watch out for like the, you know, roving gangs of shoplifters, but they're always just like sitting there on their phone doing nothing. So once Bryn asked him where you find the sunscreen, and he was like, oh, I don't know, and she was like, oh, you don't work here, oh, okay. And it was like, as we walked away, it was like, I was specifically wanted him to feel like, why am I standing here if I don't do anything at Walgreens? Like, what's the point of me standing around here?
He's protecting the Coricidin Coldenkopf from 16-year-olds.
Yeah. And this is a Walgreens where everything's already locked up. Like, you have to push a button to get out, like, shaving cream, deodorant, I think toothpaste, sunscreen. Like, it's all behind those fucking shields anyway. So it's like, what, is the cop going to stop you from stealing some candy or, like, a Hallmark card or something?
I keep forgetting that New York is, like, fucking cyberpunk 2077 ass. Yeah. And y'all are living a real dystopia. Because, like, I moved from Pittsburgh back to like small city / semi-rural West Michigan, and I started going to gas stations, and the blunt wraps were on a freestanding stand in the middle of the store, and I was like, wow, you guys are, I've never seen that. Not that I remember, not since I've been old enough to buy them.
Damn. But yeah, this is what collapse looks like.
Yeah,
is the entire fucking power grid of the Midwest. You know, obviously, if this was not in a flyover state, this would be all over the news. But like, I guess they're saying California could be affected.
Yeah,
but like,
saying like Texas, California is like elevated, but the Midwest is where it's high. Like, yeah, they're like, will be bad.
But not Chicago, right? Like, Chicago is like weirdly exempted from this. So they're basically just saying like, okay, New York is good, Chicago is fine, Dallas and LA are kind of in hot water, but we don't do things until it's, you know, we don't address the situation until it's too late. So let's wait for it to be too late for the western and southern parts of the country. The Midwest, we've already just, that's a tax write-off. They're done for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, speaking of the collapse of the country and speaking of just the collapse of fucking society in general, let's talk about Tesla again, because why
Yay,
not?
Yay, Elon Watch.
Elon Watch. And it's not it even specifically ends. About the man himself. It's literally just the little spawns of his idiocy, the actual Tesla cars themselves. There's a video that's been going around on Twitter from Savannah Welch, and it says, watch, Edil Ruiz and his partner were visiting family in California City on Saturday when his Tesla caught fire. Ruiz says the fire started directly under his 4-month-old's car seat. No one was in the car, he says. And then there's video of the burning Tesla. And wow. I was like, this is getting shared around a lot, but I feel like I saw another Tesla that was on fire.
So, oh, there's been many lately, yeah.
Yeah, so there's one that a Model Y caught fire. And this, I had to look up. This is in God. North Vancouver, British Columbia. And this is just on the side of a road. They were just parked. And then another one caught fire that was only a week old. And this is within 24 hours of the one I was just talking about. This is Route 3 in Brooklyn, Illinois. At 4:30 a.m., there was a Tesla that spontaneously combusted, even though it was only a week old, on the side of the highway. And then I kind of looked around just today. I'm pretty sure I didn't catch all of them, but there was a Tesla that caught on fire at a dealership in Miami.
Oh, wow. It was literally brand new and like sitting there waiting to get sold, and it caught on fire.
Hadn't even just been spontaneously combusts.
Yeah, just fucking blew up and damaged several
like
other
Incubus?
Teslas.
Yeah. Is it this one? Oh my God, why is it smoking?
Is it? Yeah, this one is like 12 minutes long. It's like smoking.
This construction worker is just walking by like, what the damn hell?
Oh, yeah. Also, is this the one, the guy, the window is like broken out. It looks like he had to
jump out,
break the window. Yeah, that is like,
right, because your car shuts down.
The door handle is only electric, so it like turns off and then you can't open the door.
Great idea.
And then people
idiots.
have been posting that there's like, someone was like, you should probably watch this. And it's like a link to a YouTube video that's like how to access the hidden manual door handle, which is like pull off the speaker grill in the back. You find a little like string and it's like solving a video game puzzle. It's like, pull this back, find the hidden thing, pull it, and then the door will open. And it's like, why don't the handles just have like a physical failsafe?
Because
the electric door doesn't work.
Elon Musk hired a bunch of like Rhodesian and Afrikaner ex-Nazi scientists, and they're all like, oh yeah, if you get stuck in the burning electric car, just play a fun little escape room.
Oh yeah, it's so fun.
You love a puzzle. We all love puzzles.
It's like Saw, okay? If there's a problem, you're in Saw.
Everyone loves those movies. Yeah.
You're lucky we didn't do Human Centipede, frankly.
That's a very popular film. Yeah, he also was having a fun day on Twitter.
Just recently he was doing some weird shit
today.
What did he do?
He's like posting about how he's trying to put together a team.
Oh yeah,
of
yeah.
Lawyers,
which is like, you don't already have lawyers at Tesla that you have to be like, we need the most killer litigators ever or whatever.
No, he needs to put together the fucking Justice League.
Yeah.
He's like, I have regular lawyers, but I need superhero lawyers. Is that Harvey Birdman guy real?
Is he based off someone real? Yeah. He says, Tesla is building a hardcore litigation department where we directly initiate and execute lawsuits. The team will report directly to me. Please send 3 to 5 bullet points describing evidence of exceptional ability to justice@tesla.com.
three bullet points.
My commitment.
Tell me the top 3 lawsuits you ever did.
My commitment. We will never seek victory in a just case against us, even if we will probably win. We will never surrender, settle an unjust case against us, even if we will probably lose.
Okay.
It's like, okay, you don't get to decide that. That's the whole point of the justice system.
Yeah. That's why it's called the justice system.
That's right.
Because that's like the fucking language you're using.
Looking for hardcore street fighters, not white shoe lawyers like Perkins or Cooley who thrive on corruption. There will be blood.
He thinks there's like a, who's that guy who won that settlement for the Bolivian farmers? Steven,
Donziger?
Donziger? Yeah. Like he thinks there's like a Steven Donziger, but for who wants to defend rich guys, who's like a street tough, hard boiled, like, I'll do whatever it takes lawyer, but like, mm-hmm. they'd want to defend rich guys and they're not just doing it for the money.
Yeah. You know, no, he wants someone who's morally in it.
Right.
To, protect his stupid company that mm-hmm. doesn't do anything but kill people.
Ruin the life of a woman who's accusing him of sexual harassment, which it seems like is clearly the reason he's doing this. Cause he was like just recently accused. Oh man, that has been a really funny one too, is that it's like he did the most like tricking a child, like baby brained, like right before that story came out.
Grimes?
He was like, he was no, not Grimes. He tweeted like, I used to be a Democrat because I thought they were the caring party, but they're too mean, so I decided I'm not anymore. Now wait for the attacks to come. And then an article was published that's like a woman says Elon Musk tried to have sex with her during a massage and then offered her a horse in exchange for her silence.
A horse?
Yeah. And then everyone is like, wow, look at these attacks coming out, just like Elon said. And it's like, he knew this article was coming out. They literally asked him for comment and he was like, if anyone's attacking me soon, just so you know, it's fake. And everyone is like,
it's because I'm a Republican.
Yeah. It's because I'm a Republican now, which I wasn't before.
You
I'm pretending
fucking
that
dullards.
Even though he's donated tons and tons of money to Republicans, Democrats, just whoever he fucking thinks will let him do his stupid fucking space experiments.
Rich people just do that. They give money to all politicians because mm-hmm. they're all the same people.
Yeah,
they're all the same
preserve their
kind
class
of
interest.
None of them have different politics.
Well, and then this whole, like, he even says in the tweet that they're going to like start lawsuits too. It's like a litigation team. It's not a defense team. And so,
well, it is. He says it is.
Okay.
But he's lying.
Yeah. It's a fucking litigation team. And, the thing about that is it's like, he's going Billy Mitchell mode. Do you guys remember Billy Mitchell?
Yeah, from King of Kong.
Of course,
yeah.
I love Billy Mitchell. I mean, I love to, like, he's such like a fucking villain character. It's great.
He's incredible. And I feel like, Elon can't even like get this right, even with all of his fucking money. It's like he can't do anything right. Like he can't even be a creep, you know, correctly, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, the way all the other fucking billionaires do. He can't be a litigious freak correctly the way all the other billionaires do. The only thing he has is pumping up enough fucking Redditors about his products that they swarm public opinion polls and algorithms tracking public opinion on the internet, and a bunch of legislators whose jobs have been reduced to asking the email bot that Amazon has kindly provided for them what's trending. It keeps saying, give Elon more money. Let Elon do more things. Deregulate Elon. And
he
so they
do
keep
anything.
Doing it.
Yeah.
And then money lands in their pocket and they're like, the system works.
That's how this works. We won for everybody.
Yep. And meanwhile, he's just creating cars that fucking catch on fire. There was another one in St. Louis that caught on fire as well.
Yeah.
That I didn't even bring up yet.
When Tesla falls, I think it will be the entire stock market has to fall. Right? Like it's mm-hmm. not, there's no way this is going to end with just him. Like so much of the market is built around this stupid company that is only based on hype, basically. That if it goes away, like the entire stock market is going to crash.
Yeah.
Like this will be the cause of the recession.
Yes. And it'll
like
be
the worst
biggest,
recession,
most unbailoutable recession you've ever seen.
Yeah, and then they'll still bail people out.
Well, they'll try. I mean, they'll bail some people out, but the economy is not like what they kind of like did in 2008, and they kind of did in all of like the following mini recessions and fucking regular recessions. Our expectations had just changed, I guess. This one is going to be too catastrophic. They can't like preserve the normal liberal financial order, regular capitalist financial order. So it's going to be a very, very fractious time. I mean, like everyone mm-hmm. thinks that Gramsci quote about like, you know, the old world is dying and the new world struggles to be born. Now is the time of monsters. They're like, man, that's so fucking cool. Yeah, it's cool till it happens to you. So buckle up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess because it's like, how do you even bail out a company like Tesla where it's like not based on really anything? The fact that it's so valuable, it's like you can't be like, okay, we'll give them enough money to make more cars or to like fix the problems with their cars. Like the problem is just that like they're not real, they're a tiny company relative to other car companies that's worth way more for no reason. You can't just like suddenly get that value back. So it's all just propped up on like a house of cards, basically.
Yeah, it's right, the whole government and the private sector all just like doing that thing you do at parties where you try to keep the balloon in the air and everybody's like diving through the house to try and knock the balloon back in the air so it doesn't touch the ground. But the balloon is just like Tesla and SpaceX's valuation. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon, Mitch McConnell's going to break his neck diving for the damn thing, and it's going to hit the ground.
And then everyone's going to stare at it and be like, it's going back up on its own, right? We don't have to lift it up. And they're like, oh, it was just up there because we were hitting it. There's no helium in the balloon. It's not going to rise. It's just sitting on the ground.
It's an empty balloon at this point. It popped a long time ago.
Yeah, it's actually not a balloon at all. It's just a used condom.
Yeah, people are like swatting around.
I hate how accurate that is and how much I have to leave it in when I edit this.
You have to.
I do have to. Well, speaking of editing this, the next segment in my notes here is the Fort Bragg roundup, which we are probably not going to have time for. So I'm going to punt it to the bonus, hiding all the best stuff behind the paywall. But something that we can talk about really quickly before we go is that Australia has elected a Labor Prime Minister.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, after almost a decade of having conservatives.
As
the Prime Minister,
like the PM.
Mm-hmm. The PM.
That's the president.
He runs the country. Yeah, he's the
same diff.
I'm just saying, like, what is the transaction rate here?
I think it's analogous to the president in the US.
Yeah. Because some countries will have like a president and a prime minister. I think France does.
Doesn't England have a prime minister and a queen and and something else?
They
too?
Have so many goddamn things. They stole half of them from fucking Africa and the Middle East.
What was Theresa May?
She was prime minister.
Okay.
And Boris Johnson is currently prime. I mean, the queen is like technically the queen does have power, but she doesn't.
She has a lot of power.
But she does. I mean, she's rich.
No, she owns the land.
Well, I know. That's the thing. It's like they don't usually like get involved directly in being like, here's who you should vote for, or here's who like what laws we want passed. But it's like, it's pretty clear what laws they want passed, laws to help rich people.
The whole thing is like they have this public facing thing where they're like a celebrity and they say a bunch of like drivel about, you know, making sure England is regal or whatever. But then behind the scenes, they're like a huge fucking power broker. Like if you have the ear of the queen, you're influencing the other members of parliament and all of that fucking stuff. But Australia has elected they're calling a center left opposition party prime minister. What the fuck is his name?
Anthony Albanese,
that's right. And he won after promoting himself as the only candidate with a non-Anglo-Celtic name, which is a weird kind of wokeness. But Australia, I feel like everything down there is just fucking
different.
Weird.
I don't know.
Yeah. Wait, I thought you meant only candidate in this election to run for prime minister. He means in the 120 years that the office has existed, he's the only candidate with a non-Anglo-Celtic name to run for prime minister.
What's his name?
Anthony Albanese.
It's probably Albanese. It might be Greek or Italian or something.
Yeah, it sounds kind of Italian. Yeah.
Oh, he's just saying he's Italian?
He's just saying everyone else who's run for prime minister has been named like John Wilcock or something.
Like, He doesn't even have like
Danbury, Lanfordshire.
He doesn't even have like Aboriginal like history.
No, he's just saying I'm a different kind of white guy.
He's like
just a white guy.
It's been a long time coming, but Australia's finally got a prime minister who is you know, mayonnaise with olive oil instead of regular mayonnaise.
You could say it's aioli.
you could say it's aioli. You wouldn't. You'd say mayonnaise, olive oil, but aioli would technically be correct.
So what's his zeal? What's his fucking, oh my God, Scott Morrison.
I'm just looking
Malcolm
through
Turnbull.
The names of all the other
Tony
ones.
Tony Abbott.
There have been 30 before. You got Scott Morrison, Malcolm Turnbull, Tony Abbott, Kevin Rudd, Julia Gillard, Kevin Rudd again. Wait, same guy?
He won twice?
I guess so. John Howard, Paul Keating, Bob Hawke, Malcolm Fraser. Yeah, that's pretty much all just like, and then you go real far back and it just looks like
they're British people.
Yeah, they're all just like, yeah, real fancy like British
dry
guys.
Toast ass names. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Frank Ford.
I'm in charge of the prison country. Yeah.
It's Earl just Page.
It's a weird claim to be like, Australia has finally embraced diversity. We've elected an Italian.
Go team. But so what's his deal? Is he cool? I mean, is he
he's like a Bernie, basically. Maybe not even that good. He seems to have some fairly whack ass foreign policy takes, and
Bernie.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of his labor messaging has to do with making sure that like workers and companies can both make more money, and it's like you don't have to say the second part, chief. It kind of gives away the game a little bit. Yeah, so he's not the greatest, but Australia just, you know, has been a really hawkish country and a really insanely conservative, increasingly conservative country, very much in the same way the U.S. kind of was under Trump. And so it's good to see this kind of, you know, soft reversal of that pattern. And I only have to wonder if the U.S. government will coup this guy the way we did in 1975.
Sorry, that would be Aussies. So fucking funny if we couped somebody because they elected a Bernie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. We find a fucking, what's his name? Juan Guaido, an Australian Juan Guaido. And we're like, whoops, you had some errors. This is the real president of, this is the real prime minister of Australia.
Right. My name's John Gatto. And I've just been rightfully elected to the highest office in the land. I may look like Juan Guaido. Please ignore that. You've noticed I've got a mustache and a different accent.
I have to be from Australia, clearly. Listen to this perfect accent. It's not, it's exactly like everyone speaks in Australia.
I still
Australia.
Look like The Rock. And also Reggie from Nintendo. He looks like Reggie from Nintendo. Oh,
yeah.
Thin.
Yeah. Thin Reggie plus Thin Rock.
Yeah, yeah. I think this guy will play ball enough.
I'm sure he will.
I think that's true.
Do you think that Trump is going to win? Do you think he's going to, his online presence has been very funny.
Yeah.
If he runs and the Democrats don't provide a pathway to run anybody except trying to run Biden again, Trump will win.
Yeah.
If it's Trump versus Biden, Biden has no fucking chance at all.
He will definitely lose. And yeah, this is interesting to think about because it's like Joe Biden seems like he's way too old to like run for a second term. Mm-hmm. And I feel like their whole plan was Kamala will be vice president and then she can run for president. But the problem is that nobody likes Kamala and everyone hates her guts.
She would get even more destroyed by Trump.
She would get mauled. And Bernie seems to like be almost immortal. So like, I feel like weirdly enough, Bernie might just run for president again in 2024.
He's not dead.
He's not dead, but can you imagine a third time and it's like this time Bernie can win? Like how exhausting it's going to feel?
I mean, I don't care.
I don't really care. I'll vote for him.
I'm not even going to say anything about it.
I think that's, I will say vote for him if you feel like it. I'm going to vote for him. I'm not really going to spend any time that could be spent organizing for other stuff.
I'm not going to organize either.
Yeah.
Well, I don't give a shit.
Knocking on doors is not like organizing, really.
I'm going to throw my logic into the ring here and say that I hope that they do run Bernie again in some capacity, if only because I really enjoyed doing the Bernie impression a lot more than
that's very true. I have to agree with you.
Candidates.
I like doing Trump. I hope there's more Trump news, honestly, because I think Trump is a funny bit.
That's why, like, if we could get a Trump versus Bernie election, I would stay in touch with politics, like mainstream liberal politics, just because that would be fun to watch. Like, no actual political investment, but like, oh my God, television I wouldn't miss. They could put it on pay-per-view and solve every debt crisis in America.
Honestly, absolutely. I think that this election, you know, I don't give a shit about like electoral politics, especially now. But I do think that this next one is going to be, has the chance to be something like world shatteringly strange.
It's definitely, it's like a make or break period for like liberal capitalist democracy.
No. And it's like, all falling apart. Like this is the thing I don't think people who are liberals like think about is that like the wheels are shaking off. Like it's going to end. One of these parties is going to end definitely within our lifetime.
It'll be the Democrats.
Definitely within the 20s. You know, like I think that means that another party will take its place because that's how first past the post works.
Right.
And I don't think it will be, because I agree with you, I think it will be the Democrats. And I think that the next party will be much further left than the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a labor or some kind of like weird coalition party that emerges out of like the some socialists and some greens or something like that.
It'd I don't know, man. Weird. I think that there is a chance that the Republican Party goes away and it becomes the Trump Party. And that's and the Democrats is still as far left as we can go. But I do think that like there is a chance that there is a straight up like workers party
hopefully
that emerges from like from like Mr. Smalls and all this Amazon stuff
from
like
the
that's
ashes.
The most hopeful
from the good stuff.
Yeah, like that, you know, that's like the most hopeful thing I can imagine is that like the people who are working really hard organizing the Amazon workers and like all of this sort of like union energy that we've been seeing these past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, president of the United States, Christian Smalls, and his vice president, Australian Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. I think that
fellow Americans. How do you combine those accents?
Yeah, how do you combine them?
I don't think that that is too far fetched. That like an actual workers' party that isn't like specifically like that is specifically anti Democrat mm-hmm. and like sort of brands itself as like not quote unquote left or right, but for the people.
Mm-hmm. I think it needs to be anti-capitalist.
It'd be nice, but I don't think that'll happen.
That's the problem is like, otherwise you're just doing Democrats too, electoral boogaloo, mm-hmm. you know?
That's true. But I think it will be, because America will only spawn America shit, right? Like,
or we could just give the people what they want and have two right-wing populist parties and then just go full Balkan mode because like half of America is sitting around voting on their phones, chanting Balkan wars, Balkan wars.
I mean, that's what we have.
They love it.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. But so I don't know. I think that either this next one or the one after that mm-hmm. will be the one where it all falls apart. And I think that's very exciting.
The mm-hmm. final curtain for America,
you know?
Yeah. I mean,
otherwise I don't care.
I do think that a Bernie versus Trump general election would be like one of the best, like the perfect way to get that ball rolling, because it's like, as much as like MSNBC types were so like horrified by Trump like running, they were just as horrified in a different way by Bernie running. Remember when Chris Matthews, the loud one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was like, his hair looked all fucked up. And he was like, you know, if Bernie's elected, they're going to execute me in Central Park. And it's like, I mean, we can only hope. But it's interesting that you're so like, you're just expecting. It's like they see the writing on the wall in a certain way if someone like Bernie is actually gaining power.
Here's the thing. What I'm saying is that if, say, for example, Mr. Smalls mm-hmm. and the union workers, because he has a fucking like, they're organizing around like Eat the Rich. Like it is an anti-capitalist mm-hmm. movement, right? Yes. They're a labor union movement that is anti the capitalist, anti the ruling class.
They were using William Z. Foster's, who is a communist revolutionary from the 1930s, his book about organizing in the steel industry to get shit done.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And if that is actually backed by the quote unquote left Democrats, like the Squad or whatever, mm-hmm. if that is backed and splinters off from the Democrats, and that movement tries to win, there will be a war. Mm. Like there will be a massacre of those people.
I don't
like,
even think the Squad would have the stomach for it, honestly. But I think it has to be a totally outside force. I mean, like maybe one of them, maybe out of how many people in the Squad now? Like six? Maybe one of them would be cool enough.
Right. Like mm-hmm. Cori Bush or something.
Sure.
But like, I'm just saying like if that actually happened and there was an actual communist anti-capitalist splintering of the Democrats that support mm-hmm. the labor union movement, mm-hmm. They would get killed. Like there's no winning this. There's no, like there isn't, my point is there's no like, oh, and then we like, by following the rules, get elected to the presidency. Mm-hmm. It has to be a real January 6th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like there would be contested election and then they would have to take their rightful place.
And I can't mm-hmm. be too fucking busy trying to figure out where to get propane and natural gas to heat my house because the entire freaking Midwest power is out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a full-time job for people in this winter and summer.
But I think if that did happen, mm-hmm. it would have mass support and people would support them. If all they had to do was like vote and post, mm-hmm. like, and like give them platforms, then that like would work.
Yeah. I think because right now could work. Like, you know, there's a ton of energy around unions. I think like by numbers, it's actually like union membership is like the lowest it's been in America. Mm-hmm. But like, we're currently in a position where the exponential growth can happen. But it's like one Starbucks,
you gotta buy the dip.
Yeah. Starbucks becomes 10 becomes like, but it wouldn't surprise me if in like 3 years
it's 80 fucking 5 Starbucks yeah. right now, and only 7 have lost their elections. Mm-hmm.
But it's
incredible.
The highest it's been in since the 30s.
Okay,
so mm-hmm. I mean, it's like it's still pretty low.
It's like low mm-hmm. but growing, and that kind of thing is exponential. It's like before too long, every Starbucks will just make a big union.
Once
it's
people like, realize all they have to do is just do it.
Like what's the reason to hold out and be like, I don't want to unionize my Starbucks? There's like no downside.
Yeah. We Nike sponsored union.
Yeah, yeah. Or at the end of the Michael Moore thing, what did it say? Go do something.
Do something. Yeah. And they do something is arm yourself and unionize your workplace.
That's mm-hmm. right. You need to occupy the foundry. Oh, people don't work in foundries that much. You need to occupy the Dunkin' Donuts with your AK-47 and have solidarity with the people next door occupying the IHOP. And on that right. note, we're and going to leave you.
Yeah. And then occupy the Capitol building.
The mm-hmm. White House, which is what yeah. I call Waffle House when I'm in a good mood.
when I'm very high.
That's right. But thank you so much for listening to Beep Beep Lettuce. If you're not a patron, that's the only place where you can go and get twice as many episodes, so please subscribe. Check out my other show, Work Stoppage, which is about labor. Check out Bryn's other show, Generation Loss, which is about
movies.
Visual media and other fun stuff. Check out Chris on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/beepbeeplettucepod. And as always, do something.
Smoke something.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.